Okay, let's switch to football and the headline act today, Mo Salah, with three goals as Liverpool beat Manchester United 5-0 at Old Trafford. So what happens next at Man U? On the line is the host of the Global Game right here on SEN, the voice of football in this country, Simon Hill. Morning, Simon.
Good to be with you, Matty. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I wouldn't like to be a Manchester United fan, however, this morning. What an incredible, incredible outcome this has been, and stunning scenes at Old Trafford. Would you ever put 5-0 next to Man U's name at home against Liverpool?
Well, it hasn't happened in a long time. It's the first time United have copped five on the jaw without scoring at the other end at home since 1955. So that tells you how rare an occurrence it is. Strangely enough, as a Man City fan, I do remember 10 years ago and one day exactly, City won 6-1 at Old Trafford. But yeah, it's a remarkable scoreline, and I'm sure you've all seen the pictures of, you know, those Manchester United fans walking out in their droves at half time. It makes you wonder whether Ole Gunnar Solskjaer can survive this. You did look at this fixture and worry for United, given their up and down form. And they did win against Atalanta in the Champions League during the week, come from behind success 3-2. But Liverpool are a different kettle of fish. They're in red hot form at the moment, particularly Mo Salah. And there's going to be a lot of hard questions asked this week, I think, about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, his future, the way this team is structured, because at the moment it's too haphazard. That they have good results and then follow it up by results like this. And that's obviously, for a club the size of Manchester United, is simply not good enough. And you look at the table now, they're down in seventh. Already you're looking at the top three, Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City, and thinking, well, how far behind United are they? Sorry, how far behind those clubs are United? And the honest answer is quite a fair bit.
Mm. You mentioned the 6-1 against City. 6-1 they went down last year as well, wasn't it, with no crowds there, and that was against Tottenham, but they bounced back to finish second in the Premier League. So what is it then? Can you put your finger on anything around this haphazardness that goes with Manchester United?
Well, I think their team essentially is missing a world-class holding midfielder. They've got quality players in their team. You look at the likes of Paul Pogba, obviously Cristiano Ronaldo, Marcus Rashford, you know, David De Gea, the goalkeeper, has certainly, you know, been at the top level for many, many years. But they're a team that is less than the sum of its parts. And I think somebody summed it up, one of the pundits in the UK last week, and I agree with him, said at times that, you know, it looks like they're playing with five defenders and five attackers, and there's just nothing in the middle, which allows teams to sort of overrun them at times. And that's certainly what happened with Liverpool, when you come up against a team of the quality of that opposition. So it's probably a combination of a few things, but that would certainly be the thing that stands out to me, that lack of a quality midfielder to sort of glue the team together. And, when teams in the quality of Liverpool come up against them, all too often they come unstuck. And there's a little bit of a lack of discipline at times as well. You saw Paul Pogba getting sent off last night. So, as I say, it's not just one single reason. But, Solskjaer has had long enough now. He's had backing in the transfer market. I think there are going to be big, big questions asked about his future this week on the back of this.
What do you think they do with him? Hasn't won a trophy since taking charge back in 2018 or December 2018, so nearly 3 years. He did get them back into the Champions League for the past couple of seasons. He says this is miles worse than last year's 6-1 loss to Spurs, and he's called it his darkest day there. It's pretty strong words, but he also says he's not going to go anywhere. So what do they do? They're caught in a bit of a jam.
Well, they are, but obviously that's down to the board to decide whether he stays or goes. I do remember many, many years ago, I'm old enough to remember a derby win for City over United in 1989, which was by a 5-1 margin. And Sir Alex Ferguson, who at that point had been at the club for 3 years and won nothing, was under all sorts of pressure. And United decided to stick with him. And of course, we know what happened after that. He went on to lead United to many, many trophies. So, look, it's certainly possible he could turn things around. They had a much better year last year, but the standards at Manchester United are so high that I think in the modern era, losing 5-1 in 1989 was bad, but in the modern era, the scrutiny is so intense for a club the size of Manchester United. I just don't know whether he can survive. And the other questions come out of that is, well, okay, if they are going to get rid of him, then who do they go for as a replacement? And to me, there are two names that are already outstanding, really glaring out there in the market, one of which being Zinedine Zidane, former Real Madrid coach. Mm. He would certainly be a good candidate. And the other one is Antonio Conte, who's been linked with Newcastle a little bit over the last couple of weeks. So there are two excellent managers out there that could potentially come in, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, goals galore around the league, and Chelsea leading the way 7-0 over Norwich. We're looking at Chelsea as clear championship favourites.
I think so, potentially. I mean, they seem to have everything. With the addition of Romelu Lukaku in particular, I think the depth of the squad that Chelsea have is phenomenal, probably second to none in the Premier League. And, you're seeing by some of their results, I mean, they absolutely destroyed Norwich, who, to be fair, are not going to be Premier League contenders themselves. They were absolutely terrific at the weekend. And I think it's between them, Manchester City and Liverpool. It's a three-horse race, simple as that.
Gee, it was a great atmosphere out at Combank Stadium. You were there, obviously, calling. So the Matildas 3-1, they win over Brazil. And I guess one of the key things about this was football's back with fans, mate. 15,000 people, good performance. It was just the night that football needed for a while.
Yeah, it was terrific at the weekend. I really enjoyed being back inside a football stadium. 15,000 fans. The pitch was perfect. The weather was great. It was a really good end-to-end game with goals in it. It was just a great experience to be back. I think for a football fan, fans are everything, and it's probably the same in a lot of codes as well. But it was a super night, and thankfully Matilda's got the result as well. It had a little bit of a wobble defensively at times, which is still a concern, I think, for Tony Gustafsson. But it was good to see them get a win, and obviously they do it all again Tuesday night.
And just finally, you'll cover this again, obviously, on the Global Game on Thursday night, 8 o'clock right here on SEN. But last Thursday, Alex was calling on the A-League to avoid any vaccine mandate for the upcoming season. So that upcoming season is Friday, November 19. Got a little bit of time. What do you think the A-League will do there?
It's a tough one. Obviously, personally, I'm pro-vaccine. I think it's incumbent upon people not just to protect themselves, but it's to protect everybody around them. And I think that's a responsibility everybody has. But whether they are going to mandate it 100%, I just don't know. It's such a tricky one, isn't it? I know that the AFL have done that, and I'm hearing that the NRL may follow suit. I know that there are a number of players and one or two coaches in the A-League, or certain ones that I've heard about, that are reluctant to get the vaccine. Do you accept that people have a choice and think, well, we've got to well over the 80% vaccine rate in New South Wales at least, and we probably will be nationally at some point in the near future, and think, well, that's okay. I just don't know. I wouldn't like to be making that decision, to be honest. If it was me, as I say, I'd be saying no jab, no play, but I accept that not everybody thinks that way.
Yeah, biggest story in sport, I think, here in Australia for the next few months at least. Good on you, mate. Enjoy your footy this week, and we'll be tuning in, of course, on Thursday night from 8 o'clock for the Global Game.
Thanks, Matty. Have a good week.